so nice to see everyone this morning. It is always just an honor and a pleasure to be able to share the word of God, right? And to be able to, in addition to sharing the word of the Lord, just what the Lord places in our hearts, right? For the edification of the body of Christ, right? For our mutual encouragement. So I'm always thankful for the opportunity that Senior Pastor gives us to be able to share from this pulpit. I hope you all had a nice Thanksgiving, right? I know that just a couple of days ago, we were celebrating it. Some of us may have been with our families, right? Some of us may have been working. Maybe some of us had to work. Maybe some of us were alone, right? Either by circumstance or by choice, right? However you were on Thursday, I do hope that you were able to focus in, right, on the meaning of the day overall, right, which is the gratitude that we have for the things that we have because of our God, right? All that we have, not just the material things, but all that we have and all that we can celebrate because of Christ, right? As I look out, right, to all your beautiful faces this morning, I do know one thing, right? I know that each person here falls into one of two groups, right? Now, we usually don't do this here at ECC, at least not in the morning service, but we're going to do it this morning, all right? You're either part of one group or the other, and we're going to kind of see it now, okay? By a show of hands, now I know we don't do that here, but we're going to do it this morning. By a show of hands, who dusted off their Mariah Carey Christmas album and started singing or playing Jingle Bells or Oh Holy Night way before Thanksgiving? There you are. Look around. There you are. So days and weeks before Thanksgiving, right? We're already singing the Jingle Bell Rock or Oh Holy Night or All I Want for Christmas, right? We were all doing this, right? Congratulations. You are part of the pre-group, pre-Thanksgiving. The rest of us normal people, I'm kidding. The rest of us are part of the post-Thanksgiving Christmas celebrating group, okay? But, you know, regardless of what group you fall into, right, whether you're, you know, celebrating in October or you're celebrating maybe starting today or you started Friday, right after Thanksgiving, there's such an anticipation, right, that builds within us, an expectancy that occurs around this time of the year that stirs up a number of emotions and thoughts within us. This time of the year brings so much excitement, much celebration. It also brings a rush, right? It brings up memories, whether they're pleasant memories or maybe not so pleasant memories, right? That's what this time of the year does for us. As believers, what we do with and in this season matters. How we interact, how we process and present this season carries much weight in light of its true meaning. Because of that, and very fittingly, today we'll talk about this season in the church. In the traditional church calendar, today, November 28th, is the first day of Advent, okay? Now, depending on what your church background is, you may be familiar with the traditional church calendar overall. If you don't, I'm going to be a little bit of a Betsy and kind of give you a little background in history like I typically do, right? What I'm referring to is the traditional church calendar is known as the liturgical calendar. How to say that slowly? Liturgical calendar. Which sets the rhythm for the major celebrations within the Christian church as a whole. It starts with Advent, which leads into Christmas, then Epiphany, or what we know as Three Kings Day, Lent, which is 40 days of fasting, and then finally Resurrection Sunday, or Easter, as it's commonly known. Focusing on Advent, For centuries, and as early as the 4th century, as noted by some theologians, thank you, Christians around the world have used a period of time leading up to Christmas to prepare for the celebration of Jesus' birth. Today, the 4 weeks preceding Christmas, before Christmas, are set apart for Advent. During this time, believers meditate on four key words or themes, one for each week, emphasized during this season. They are, and if you're taking notes, you can start now, hope, peace, joy, and love. They do this in hopeful anticipation. Some say expectant waiting and preparation, both for the celebration of the Nativity of Christ at Christmas and the return of Christ at the Second Coming. Let's take a few minutes and transition to our scripture. You can open your Bibles or your apps. You can remain seated. And we're going to read in Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 8. Scripture reads, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing your name. And again, it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, and he will arise to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. This morning, as we're talking about Advent, right? In the next few minutes, my desire is that we would be equipped, right? What does it mean to be equipped? To be ready, to have the tools, to have the understanding and the know-how, right? To navigate the days and weeks fast approaching in preparation for Christmas. What are we preparing? We're preparing our hearts and we're preparing our minds, right? That we would be encouraged to anticipate, be active and intentional rather than passive and reactional to all that the season presents to us. That we would focus on what truly matters and by that orient, position, guide our hearts to celebrate this season well in a way that portrays hope, promotes peace, shines joy, and celebrates love. As I mentioned, there are four key words or themes, right, that are thought of or that we focus on or meditate on over the next few weeks, right? We'll take some time this morning to look very quickly at the four words because each of those words could be full-on sermons and we don't have that time today, right? So we'll take a look at those words just quickly today as an encouragement, right? The first one is hope. In this context of the season of Advent, we see hope fulfilled and active expectant hope, right? We see hope that has been fulfilled, but then we also hold a hope that is still waiting and expectant, right? Hope is not just wishful thinking. It's not just thinking for the best. It's not just thinking, you know, glass half full. It's not just being optimistic. It's not like, oh, it's going to get done. It's going to be fine. I'm a positive person. Hope is more than that, right? Hope is trusting God's character, trusting God's motives, trusting God and his ability to do what he has promised. It is not based on circumstances we see, right? Again, if we see something that's in front of us and kind of encourages us, right? We feel optimistic. We say, oh, we can get it done. Even if it's just a little bit of something that we see, we say, hey, I can work with this. This kind of hope, as it relates to Advent, as it relates to this waiting on God, right, goes beyond that. It's looking at what God has already done, and believing him for the future that he is to do, right? In the Old Testament, we see that over the course of many years, the people of Israel received prophecies of the coming Messiah, right? They had been promised over and over again this Savior, right? And they waited for years and years, right? As we read in Romans, specifically verses 8 and 12, where it says, for I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. And 12, and again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope, right? God fulfilled his promises to the people of Israel. He fulfills the promise of the promised Savior, the Messiah that was to come, right? In the New Testament, we see Jesus to be God in human form. We see and meet Emmanuel, right? His son who came to earth to reconcile God's people back to their covenant or our covenant relationship with God. During Advent, we join in centuries-long tradition and we wait. Just like God's people eagerly waited for the arrival of the Messiah, we remember their hope, right? And we hold a hope, right? We still look forward to Jesus' final return when he will reunite heaven and earth in new creation. That's our hope. We celebrate, right? And we wait. But do we do nothing while we wait? No. Waiting is not just sitting by, twiddling your thumbs or tapping your foot, kind of sitting idle for what's to come, right? Waiting is moving. Waiting is working. Waiting is trusting, right? In this season, right, while we wait, we share the good news of Jesus' birth, right? We announce it in all ways. It's probably one of the easiest times to do it, right? Because the whole world, even if they're not Christians, there's a focus or an emphasis on Christmas, right, on what this season brings, right? But we, as believers, have such a beautiful opportunity to shine a light on this hope that was born on a manger many years ago, right? Beyond this, we share the good news of his birth, his death, and his resurrection, holding him as our Savior, our hope for eternal glory with God. We must share this hope with others. Share that the God we serve is a God who fulfills promises, a God who by his holy nature cannot and will not lie when he says he will do something. We can hold on to God's promises in Christ. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. 2 Corinthians 1:20. The second theme we should focus on during this season is peace, right? Peace, in its original Hebrew, isn't just an absence of conflict, war, or strife, as we understand it in our language, right? We think peace, or someone says peace, and we think, okay, they stop fighting. There's peace, right? Peace, or shalom, is a state of wholeness, a state of completeness. While the Old Testament ends with God's people still waiting expectantly for the ultimate king, the anointed one who would bring peace to the world, during Advent, we remember that this Prince of Peace is born, and because he is born, we can have shalom with God, right? Everything that separated us before, the sin that caused strife, the sin that fractured the earth, in Christ is no longer. In that Prince of Peace is no longer. We can have completeness. We can have a state of wholeness with God. But it doesn't end there. This reconciliation of humanity's relationship with God allows us also to be reconciled with others as well. In this season, we can celebrate it well by seeking reconciliation with others. I know it's difficult. I know the times we're living in today would tell us that your neighbor is your enemy at all times. That person typing on the other side of that Facebook screen or Instagram screen or whatever you're looking at is the devil himself, right? Because it's what we're living in today, right? It's easy to have the enemy. It's easy to have something against someone because there's always someone adding, in Spanish, leña al fuego, adding wood to the fire, right? Making situations hostile, making everything around us uncomfortable, right? Not in this season. We have an opportunity to shine a light on the Prince of Peace that is born for us, right? And through that, we can be reconciled in many ways to those around us. It's not easy. I know that. I know that because we're hurt. I know that because it's difficult, right, to see someone in or look someone in the eye, knowing that there may have been a situation or a circumstance that caused some type of division or strife. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be empowered to meet that person where they are and reconcile for the glory of God. So today we're doing a little bit of an overview on Advent, right? And the major themes to focus on during this season of preparation for the celebrations to come. We've reviewed hope and we've reviewed peace. The next theme that we can focus on or should focus on in the next coming weeks is joy. When Jesus was born, angels announced his arrival on earth by declaring, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." It's important that we be reminded that joy goes beyond, transcends happiness. There is a difference between being joyful and experiencing or feeling happiness, right? Joy is beyond that giddy feeling that we may sometimes get when we, I don't know, bite into a slice of pizza, have a Coke, have a cupcake, see your friend, hug a family member, right? We feel this happiness, right, with certain things that are external to us, right? Joy is everlasting, right? It's sustaining in the times of sadness and trouble. It's the joy that the Israelites experienced, although they were in the midst of the desert, where they were able to rejoice, right? It's the joy that the Apostle Paul oftentimes describes over and over again as he's writing his letters to the churches while he's sitting in a prison cell. Who writes of joy when they're sitting in jail? Who writes of joy when they've had their liberty stripped from them, when they've suffered for the cause, when they've struggled through many circumstances? Who can write of joy? Paul gives us that example. In this season, we can celebrate well when our joy is not dependent on current or past circumstances, by our current struggles, disappointments, unmet expectations, but by who Jesus is in our lives and the hope that we have in him for our present lives and our future destiny. That is the source of our joy in this season. And we can celebrate well when we seek that joy, right? And we seek to share that joy with others. Listen to me here. I'm not saying, right, that we're going to ignore our circumstances and ignore those painful areas of our lives, right? I'm not saying that we don't struggle. I'm not saying that this time of the year brings out things in our family and our friends that are troublesome sometimes, right? I very well know and understand because I have things as well, right? But we don't ignore them, right? We don't sugarcoat them, right? And we don't, I want to say this nicely. We don't fake it till you make it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't say, you know, all is well, when really, right, there are things you have to kind of work through, and that's okay, right? Whatever you're going through, whatever your circumstance, whatever emotions this season brings, deal with those emotions, right? Lay them before Christ. Seek counsel. We have pastor and pastoral staff here. Maybe even you need help from a therapist or a counselor in a professional setting as well, right? That's okay, right? Sometimes we need help unpacking those things, right? We tend to ignore things until they pop up in the future. You're like, oh, I wonder why I'm like this. It's something that you didn't deal with that happened 3 years ago, right? But our body and our minds remember things, right? In Christ, though, with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be healed of those things and we can practice, right, wellness, right? What I'm saying is that we are to be true and transparent in saying, man, this situation stinks, but I'm going to hold on to the joy that the Lord provides for me in this season. I'm going to seek help. I'm going to seek to take care of these things. But the joy of the Lord is my strength in all of these situations. Right? We can share that joy with others. They'll see in you, man, that person has had a really just stinky last few weeks, right? But they're still joyful. They still share in joy, right? That's the testimony and a witness that we can give to the world in this season. We are sorrowful, but yet rejoicing because of the Lord. Having covered hope and peace and joy, I hope you're still with me and taking notes. We've reached our final theme, which is love, right? The truth is that this whole season wouldn't be possible without love, right? It begins and ends with love, the love that God had for us to send his son to be born on a manger and later to be crucified on a cross. Looking at this sacrificial love, we can celebrate this season well when we choose to love others. I'm intentional in using the word choose because it's an action that we take to love others, not a passing thing that happens, right? It's a choice that we make to love others. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, we read, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." I say choose because it is often that people, right? Because we say people and we think of the other person, but we ourselves can be difficult, right? We sometimes can be not so easy to love, right? And the call from God is to love even those we deem unlovable, right? Because God deems no one unlovable. It is us by our standards, it's society, it's culture that decides this or that person deserves no love, right? God has not deemed anyone unlovable. It's choosing to love that person who thinks differently than you, that acts differently than you, right? Who maybe presents differently than you. It's choosing to love in the light of Christ, in the love of Christ, right? That we choose to love the person. It's choosing to show love for the glory and honor of God, especially in this season when there's such a bright light on us as believers. Like, this is our season, man. Christmas is our season, right? So how do we not show love, especially in this season when there's this big old spotlight on us as believers, right? We are called to love. So how do we orient our hearts for this season? How do we guide our hearts in this season, right? How do we keep ourselves grounded to the truth of the season? There's three things, I think, that we can do in the season, in the next 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, that can help us throughout the season. The first thing we can do is check our hearts, right? If in this season we ought to meditate on hope, peace, joy, and love, what during this season makes you feel hopeless? What in this season makes you feel hopeless? What in this season takes away your peace? What interrupts it? What attacks or dims your joy in this season? What makes you feel unloved? What troubles your heart in this season? When you hear that the holidays are coming, what stirs up within you? Right? I'm going to push a little bit here. I just got really nervous. I'm going to push in a little bit. And I'm going to say that checking your heart may mean that you need to check your idols in this season. What are you deeming or deciding as most essential to your joy and happiness that is not Christ in this season? And if you read Gospel, you know where I got that from, right? Whatever that is, mess with that, and there your hope will go. There you'll see your peace fly away. There your joy will go. There you'll feel unseen and unloved. I can't tell you what your specific idols or potential idols could be in your life. I know what mine are. And I have to keep them in check, right? Because if you don't keep things in check, they grow, right? If you don't keep that garden nice and weeded and take out all, you know, the nasty stuff, when you come back, your weeds are overgrown. Your poor roses are not pretty anymore, right? You have to keep things in check, but especially in this season, right? I got a little bit of help from author Tim Keller, right? We may be familiar with some of his writings. And he identifies four major source idols in our lives, right? You may identify one of these four in one of these four categories. And if you tell me that you don't, then I'm going to say that you're not being truthful with yourself. Because we all struggle with something, right? We all have an area of our lives where we struggle. The four are power, where we value success, winning, and influence. Approval, where we value affirmation, love, and relationships. Comfort, where we value privacy, lack of stress, and freedom. Or control, where we value self-discipline, certainty, and standards. Now, any of those things on their own are not terrible things, right? It's not terrible, right, to look for love and, you know, to affirm and all of these things. But when your life and your decisions and everything revolves around those things more than Christ, there is an issue. Especially in this season, right? In this season where we're getting bombarded with messages of, in order to win this person's love, you have to buy them this $5,000 gift, right? Where we struggle, right, with getting, with receiving someone's affections or attention, where we want to throw the best Christmas party out there, right? Because every year my party has to be the best, right? Where we struggle with, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to stay home and comfortable and not do anything. I'm not going to go serve at the soup kitchen. I'm not going to go do anything because I just like to be on my own, right? Or where we have certain standards for how things should be, right? And are not willing to be flexible and accommodating in this season, right? So if you recognize any of these things, it's important that we keep these things in check and focus on what matters. Focus on Christ and the meaning of the season. The second thing I believe we can do in this season, right, is to actively, purposely, intentionally counter the cultural approach to this season. This season will rush us. This season will stress us. This season will push us to do a little more. It will push us to worry a little more, spend a little more, celebrate a little more, because that's what the season, right? It's like a machine that kind of just comes and keeps going. Once Thanksgiving comes, it's, you know, full steam ahead till Christmas. Do we not feel that way? Am I the only one? No? Yeah, okay. Full steam ahead till Christmas. We have to be intentional about slowing down. That's going to look differently for each person here, right? That might mean that you're saying no to that third party invitation that you just got, right? It may mean that you're going to set a spending limit, right, on how much you're going to spend this season, right? Whatever that looks like for you, right, you decide, right, how am I going to slow down in this season so that I can focus on what really matters, so that I can show others what this season is truly about. The last thing, right, that we should do and can do by meditating and focusing on what this season is really about is to cherish Christ. We cherish Christ, try saying that fast 5 times. And we do that by taking personal time to reflect, right? We take out time, we're intentional about taking time to reflect on who Christ is, on what he's done. I'm certain that almost everyone in here either has the Bible app on their phones, right? How many of you guys opened it this morning, and right at the top ribbon, there were like 50 different Advent plans you could start today, right? Right? Pick one. Start one today, right? There's a few days leading up to Christmas, and that could be your time where you're refocusing your mind and your energy through the word, through his word, right? Through devotions that have been prepared for us. I started one this morning. If you want a buddy to see me after service, say, hey, I want to join you on your Advent plan, by all means, right? But it's taking the time to cherish Christ, to be in his word, and orienting our thoughts and our hearts towards Christ. The second thing that we do in cherishing Christ that we should do and could do is be in community. The holidays tend to isolate a lot of us, right? Mainly because we try to avoid. We try to avoid those hard conversations and difficult circumstances that have sometimes affected us. Sometimes we're just lazy, honest, right? And sometimes we're just tired, right? We need a little bit of break from the holidays, right? Community is essential to our growth and to our health, to maintaining ourselves on the path of Christ. So as you cherish Christ, I encourage you to take personal time to reflect and share in community. That will help us thrive in this season, not just survive the holidays, but thrive in the holidays. In this season of Advent, you and I can take an active role to orient our hearts to what really matters. God can fill us with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may abound in hope. Through the wonderment of the season, through the laughter and the twinkling lights, through the hard emotions and the painful memories, we can abound in the hope that that sweet baby Jesus brought on the manger when he was born, but also the hope that we hold for his return. Thank you for your time and listening to me this morning. I'll ask the musicians. Oh, here he is. I want to say that I'm going to open the altar for prayer, right? And we're available to pray for anyone here or who is watching us through any of the streaming means. First, for anyone who doesn't know Jesus, right? If this is your first time hearing about Jesus in the beginning of the Advent season, I'm excited for you, man. Like, to be able to first encounter Jesus in the Advent season, in the expectancy of who's to be born and knowing what he's going to accomplish, that's exciting for me. I think everyone here is from the house. But if you don't know Jesus and you want to meet the Jesus that was promised, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father and Prince of Peace that was born on that manger, I invite you to come forward today and we will pray with you. You don't have to wait until December 25th to meet him. He's here today. He's with us every day. I would also like to open prayer for anyone who, in anticipation of this season, just feels all these emotions that kind of come up, right? The anxieties and the worries and the expectations that this season put upon us, right? We're here and we're willing to pray with you, right? That we would have a thriving season, that we would be able to shine a light on all that matters during this season. I'd also like to invite anyone who, after hearing everything I just shared, says, you know what, Bets? I'm having a difficult time, right? And I want to be able to celebrate well. If you need that extra encouragement, that extra strength from the Lord to celebrate well, I also invite you to come forward. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.